Good afternoon and welcome to Stage Talk, a weekly conversation about local theater. My name is Jean Paul.
And I'm Mark Muro. And today our guests are Wayne Mitchell and Dick Reichman, who are here because they are both playing the character of Ebenezer Scrooge in A Christmas Carol, two productions which are running concurrently, one in Eagle River and one right here in Anchorage. And, well, I thought it would be nice. We thought it would be great to have these Dewey Scroogey, as we say, here, dueling Scrooges. Well, welcome, guys. Welcome, Scrooge.
Thank you for having us. You know, actually, Wayne is a really nice guy. He's a wonderful actor. He's an extremely nice guy. But based on that, I'm sure he's not doing a very good job as Scrooge.
Why do you say that?
He's too nice.
Well, I have to serve that right back because Dick is one of the nicest guys in the world. I mean,
enough of this.
Yeah, the mutual
admiration society here.
Society, but you're both cheapskates.
Mm-hmm.
You're both fear based. Kind of what's the word? Just kind of like morbidly miserly.
Well, the thing I like that you say fear based. That was one of the things that I really found in doing the character analysis for this piece. It gets really tempting to do this as a surface piece that we're all familiar with. It's kind of a chestnut, and so, you know, just to come in and shuffle through the role and bah humbug and do the cartoon version. But if you look at him, Scrooge is a complex character.
Very.
And what he is motivated entirely by fear of people, fear of being left alone, fear of poverty, and so he's collapsing on himself.
Isn't that the basis for greed?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
The people that have all this energy tied up in money, but they don't do anything with it because they just hoard, because they're afraid to let go, because if they did, they'd fall apart.
Exactly. Well, and so you've got this guy that's fear-based, and Dickens does a pretty cunning job, as he said. Well, what better way to teach this character is lesson than through fear? And so Jacob Marley sets up the visitation of the spirits, and it's kind of like Ritalin, you know, that it amps you so much that it crashes you, that he gets exposed to so much fear and so much regret that it's transmogrifying for him.
I love the quote you just gave because it says so much about Scrooge. Would you give it again for the radio audience?
The one that Dick and I were just banding back and forth. I do not make myself merry at Christmas time, and I cannot afford to make idle people merry.
I support those institutions which I have mentioned, the prisons and the workhouses. Those who are in need must go there.
Beautiful.
I would rather die than go there.
Well, let them die and decrease the surplus population. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, good sir. the thing I love about this show, which it keeps on reinventing itself time after time, is that it's such a critique on capitalism and on the just this kind of ruthless economics, which will lead to something like we had in the Victorian times and something like we have today, which is alive and well. I mean, a kind of a system which is just set up, by a few for a few, and everybody else can just, they can just go to the workhouse and, they're on the treadmill.
Yeah, interestingly enough, Dickens wrote it as kind of a comment on his own economic conditions at the time, and he wrote it and refused to have it published. He self-published it and made bank. It was his absolute most popular piece, paid off his debt, and then he reduced it for a reading audience, and he spent the rest of his career traveling around reading this and then taking the proceeds and donating it to philanthropic organizations.
And you're reading entirely different versions of these plays. Yours is, I understand, written by you.
Yeah, the TBA version was adapted by me. It's written by Dickens. I don't want to take undue credit, but we needed to fit it into at TBA. We like to keep our shows just about an hour in length so that they're conducive to school audiences. So finding a version that we liked along with that brevity was kind of a challenge, and so I adapted it. But
well, both you and your brother Shane are both really skilled at taking a classic and putting it on stage so that it retains its flavor, shape, and impact, and just slips right onto the stage. You guys are great adapters.
We love the classics.
Yeah. A great adapter.
Yeah.
Now, but your version, Dick's version that you're doing, is epic in scope.
It's kind of Bob Pond is directing it, and he has taken a script which was a major opera production and reduced it to the smaller stage of that we're using in Eagle River. So it's really Bob Pond's creation based on a script which was intended to be used in different ways. So it's a complex thing, but basically I think it tells the story very well. It's interesting, my own connection with it. You, of course, wrote the version, have been involved in this, have done it over the years. I've never done it before, and Bob asked me to do it, and I thought, well, it's an old chestnut, you know, and I'll do it, and it's fun to do the role. And the profundity of it, the relevance of it, didn't hit me until we're in the middle of rehearsal, and suddenly in the election campaign, up comes this debate about progressive taxation, basically. And one candidate accused the other candidate of doing the devilish thing of trying to share the wealth. And I, oh my goodness, this is amazingly relevant. If we're arguing about this literally, and half of us are voting for it and half of us are voting against it, this old chestnut is really current, which was kind of a shock to me, you know.
Which the scene that we were bandying back and forth where the solicitors come and are asking for
The people asking for a donation.
And, and exactly what you were mentioning.
Yeah.
And the characters you play as one of the greatest character in literature and on the stage even more so, because the redemption is so complete. You have this person who transforms into something from like this very complicated, pathetic character, and then they become like this benevolent, altruistic. He becomes like a surrogate father to Tiny Tim.
I think it's that drink that the ghost gives him.
Well, that's one of those things that you've got to, that's a real challenge with this role.
For those of you who are just tuning in, this is Stage Shock, here with our guests, Wayne Mitchell and Dick Reichman, both playing Scrooge in different perversions of the play, the Dickens play, and Continue, Please.
So what we were saying is that transformation is one of those things that, I don't know if you've encountered this, Dick, but the audience seems to be, not the audience that attends the show, obviously, but when you talk to people go, oh gosh, man, Christmas Carol again, that old thing again, you know, we all know that again. Or you get the people go, oh my gosh, that's my very favorite, I can't wait to see it, I'm going to see every version that everybody does. And I think the key to it is the transition that Mark just mentioned, is that if that's not believable, then the audience is kept at a distance. If you follow Scrooge on the journey and it happens incrementally, then you've got something there.
Yeah, but the story itself, it touches something really deep and primal. I didn't realize that, since we all know what it says. We've all known it since childhood. But you sit there watching an audience absorb the story itself, not necessarily our performance. And the story has this freshness of, you know, the political debate we just had, the whole issue of it's not just capitalism, it's the fear leading us to hoard and compete as opposed to, you know, sharing and helping each other live. So it touches some really deep, deep root in us.
Yeah, and the whole in every one of us, the kind of the dichotomy between being compassionate and then stopping. It's kind of like that's what Christmas is kind of all about, is trying, you know, let go, and you don't have to be that same kind of focus driven person that you are the whole rest of the year. I mean, it's nice if everybody was like that every day, but this is the time when we have to reflect on what we have and, you know, what we're so grateful for and how we can afford to kind of be, you know, good cheer and all that. Like, what's his name? Fezziwinkle or whatever his
name. Fezziwig.
Yeah.
well, you know, really all of civilization is part of this quarrel but within the person between greed and the need for man to be a social animal. So that there's the personal greed, which we must have. If we didn't have it, we wouldn't exist as a species, because we would have died out long ago. Because in times of famine, the people who survived were the ones who were greediest. Oh,
the aggressive
hoarded.
Ones who could hoard the calories. Yeah,
yeah. Right. But that is in deep conflict with our need of. Well, it's in deep contact with the animals' need for social work, to work together, and this play addresses that continuous conflict. Christmas addresses that conflict.
And Dickens
teaching the social part
as opposed to
the personal
right.
Well, and there's a values question in there as well, in terms of what is successful? Mrs. Cratchit, under duress, toasts Scrooge, and she says, I'm sure he'll be very merry and very happy, assuming because of his wealth. And he's watching it, and he's anything but happy. He's absolutely miserable. He's 1/100th as happy as these impoverished Cratchits. And so what is the measure of success? What is, you know, we certainly oughtn't gauge the success of a person by the size of his wallet. And in a financial distress, that's certainly what the Cratchits are doing, or at least Mrs. Cratchit is doing. But it's not. They're far more wealthy than Scrooge is.
Yeah, but so much of what we take to be Christmas is also kind of invented or reinvented by Dickens from like a country bumpkin tradition into this kind of urban holiday that we have now, which kind of paradoxically expresses itself through all this consumerism.
Well, it's interesting. When Dickens wrote it, he was watching the... the vanishing of traditional English Christmases. As you said, it was becoming kind of a rural holiday. It wasn't very sophisticated. And he wrote it to kind of pay tribute to it and revitalize it. And that's exactly what it did in spades.
Well, I didn't realize that. So Christmas was not what it is today. You think that Dickens' story actually was a main lever in making Christmas the big thing it is for our culture today?
I don't know. It was a lever. It was certainly a lever in terms of how we view it and how we celebrate it. It certainly revitalized Victorian England in terms of how they treated Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, this is a fascinating conversation about Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, and we've been talking to two actors, both playing the role of Scrooge in two separate productions. Wayne Mitchell, thank you so much for coming down.
Thank you, Mark, and break a leg, Dick. I look forward to seeing you.
Break a leg, I look forward to seeing you do it.
And Dick Reichman, the two Scrooges. And now it's time for the Stage Talk calendar. Alaska Junior Theater presents Madeline and the Bad Hat at the Alaska Center for the Performing Arts Discovery Theater. One public performance only tomorrow, Saturday. That's December 13th at 3 p.m. For tickets and more information, go to centertix.net or call 263-ARTS.
And the Valley Performing Arts presents A Christmas Story. This play runs through December 21st, showtimes Friday and Saturday at 8 p.m. and Sunday at 2 p.m. at the Maquetance Theater. For tickets, you can go to valleyperformingarts.org. That's all one word, valleyperformingarts.org, or call 373-0195.
At Cyrano's, The Boyfriend continues its run Thursdays through Saturdays at 7 p.m. with a Sunday matinee at 3 p.m. with two extra holiday shows, Monday the 22nd and Tuesday the 23rd, also at 7 p.m. And this is going to be at Cyrano's on D Street. For tickets or more information, call 263-ARTS, or you can go to centertix.net, or just call Cyrano's at 274-2599.
The Alaska Fine Arts Academy in Eagle River presents Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol tonight and tomorrow night at 7 p.m., that's Friday and Saturday, with a final Sunday show at 2 p.m. For tickets, go to www.akfinearts.org or call 694-8909. That's 694-8909.
And finally, TBA Theater presents A Christmas Carol at APU's Grant Hall, Friday at 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. and one on Sunday at 3 p.m. And once again, all performances are at APU's Grant Hall. For tickets, call 677-PLAY, 677-PLAY, or go to play@tbatheater.org. And that's TBA Theater, TheaterE.org. Well, that concludes Stage Talk. Thanks so much for listening. Until next week, I'm Mark Muro.
And I'm Jean Paul for KSKA.